And on the phone with us, that is one cool TV theme song.
Don't have enough of those anymore, man.
It's both groovy and intense at the same time. Let's say hi to David McCollum. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you. The whole McCollum family thanks you.
I'm sure they're proud of you for being on our show.
Oh, absolutely. And listening to that music does bring back a few memories.
I'm sure it does. What was it like for you in the big heat of the Cold War, the big middle of it, to play a Russian character that everyone seemed to love, though?
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, as an actor, you do the best you can with the scripts you get. And the scripts, in the beginning, I had very little to do, and it just sort of grew over the first season. But at the same time, I was a wee Scottish actor. You know, I'd come to America after doing The Great Escape and The Greatest Story and a few of those, and I was really in new territory. So being at MGM, surrounded by all those stars that I'd watched on the American films, as they used to call it, I was just blown away. I'm such a fan of movies, to be among them. I mean, Kid in a Candy Store.
But it is the heart of the Cold War, and you're playing a Russian. Did you get any flack from that? Did people ever were they surprised when you found out you're a guy from Scotland?
In retrospect, you know, I realized more of the political things that we did. But at the time, we were just doing the script.
Yeah.
You know, you just do the job.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the news and the newspapers and the articles and everything that was written about what was happening. And I think Kent State was... There were many, many things that happened at that time. And so, in a way, the success of the show was that people were able to escape from all that. They were able to escape from the realities of what was happening in the world, and for 1 hour watch an American and a Russian agent work together.
Mm-hmm. And then you move on, your career continues on, and then you end up with NCIS. And I read something where, I believe as a director or the producer of that show, brought you in, you had studied so much that if you didn't get the part you got, he was going to have you on as a technical advisor to the show?
No, that's putting the cart before the horse.
Oh, okay.
I got the job, and I knew nothing about pathology.
Okay. Yeah. I apologize, David.
I met with the coroner. That's all right.
My partner thinks he knows. He reads TMZ, and then he thinks he knows stuff. I apologize about that.
No, I got to work with a coroner for the first couple of years of the show and watch autopsy and at one point go to the other side of the partition and actually work with the pathologist who taught me a great deal of exactly how and the way that they do it.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I learned a colossal amount about what to not to do in life if you want to go on living.
That just sounds like the stuff of nightmares. I wouldn't want to take that image home with me from work.
A lot of people feel that way, but when you actually are there and realize what a miraculous job the creator did of the human being, it is quite astonishing.
You have a new book out. We're talking about David McCollum, by the way, who you remember from Man from U.N.C.L.E., and certainly you know him from NCIS as Dr.
It's McCollum, by the way.
What did I say?
Good Lord.
McCollum.
Now look at you messing it up.
God.
Now I'm not the only one. We apologize, Dave. We're sorry.
If you want to hang up on us right now, I wouldn't blame you.
Not at all. We got at least another 2 hours.
You're very generous.
Well, you know what he's thinking. David's thinking, and it only can get better from here. This is the low point of the day for him.
Anyway, David McHenry has a new book out called Once a Crooked Man. When did you become an author, or have you always been a writer?
I've always liked writing. I mean, letters and such like, and leaving notes for my children about what to do in this world. But about 15 years ago, I sat down with the intention of teaching myself how to write a story, because I really didn't know, and my first efforts were pathetic. It went in and out of drawers, often on various laptops, and about 4 or 5 years ago, I took it out and finished it. And from that point on, it sort of took a life of its own, which has ended with it being published a couple of weeks ago and actually going to a second printing within 48 hours.
Oh, wow. Good
so I'm as astonished as everybody else. And, you know, the first time I was being talked to somebody about it, they were saying, oh, yes, actor and author.
Yeah.
And I laughed because I've never heard that before.
What's the book about?
The book's about the fact that crime pays, and pays quite well if you keep your head down and don't get caught. And it's about some guys who've done that all their lives, and one of them decides he's going to retire. and get out of the business because he's getting older and he's not that well. And they're having a conversation about it that is overheard by a New York actor by the name of Harry Murphy. And Harry decides when he listens to them that they're talking about killing somebody, and he decides to save this man's life. And he interferes, and in doing that, he screws up his life, all the bad guys' lives, and meets a whole lot of really quirky characters along the way.
And it's described
as... I said that rather well.
You did.
Did you have that written down in front of you? Because you should be an author.
Yes, sir.
It's described...
Yeah, but you know, there's a downside to being an author. Okay, you take 15 years to write a book. They then come along and say, okay, second book, you have 15 months.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No,
now is act
two. That's the pressure.
Yeah. It's described, though, as a comic thriller.
Well, comedy to me, I don't write comedy. Harry is, you know, a little bit awkward. He's not the most accomplished of human beings. He maybe thinks he is upon occasion, but it's his, what he does produces comic situations, and I think that's where the comedy lies.
Well, it is getting all kinds of great reviews already. It has been on sale for a couple of weeks. It's Once a Crooked Man, David McCallum, and certainly available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and at your favorite local bookstore. And, David, if you never want to be on our show again, I don't blame
you. We understand.
Yeah, it's
no,
totally,
no, no, no. It's been a thrill. Who was it said I have a thrill running down my leg?
That's so kind of you to lie. good to have you on. Thanks. Nice to meet you, sir.
Thank you. A great pleasure. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. I really thought for a while there he was going to hang up on us. I loved the McHenry joke that went right over his head. He's a very nice man.
He is, and I feel horrible now.
I don't think my question was out of the line.
No, you were fine.
I read on Wikipedia where they said he was going to be a technical advisor on the show because he studied up so much.
Okay. Well, now you know what to expect from Wikipedia.
I wasn't fully wrong.
I'm not fighting with you. I'm embarrassed for both of us, I'm saying. I wish that would have gone differently, is what I'm saying.
I thought it went quite well, actually. I don't know what you're so worried about.
He's going to send Napoleon Solo after us with his silencer. More to come with Mike and Molson here on WMAY. We could be. We'll turn this around if we get Hamburger Jones.
That's going to be amazing.
That will bring.
We can't mispronounce that. Hamburger.
I should have asked McCallum about that.
Should have asked McHenry or whatever. Yeah. Gregory, as I was going to call him.
So sorry.
When I said David, I was like, I had to make sure to look down and be like, oh, did I upset him again? Hey, got the book out. That's all that matters.